Welcome back to the JT The Brick Show, brought to you by Modelo Especial, the new number one beer in the U.S.
It's time for JT The Brick.
So we feel like we're at the front lines of the Raider Nation to tell you what we believe is pertinent. So, topic number one, every day on this show, quarterback. I, JT The Brick, would like to trade into the top five and get a franchise quarterback. Well, the big decision coming up in the draft is, will the Raiders trade up and get a star quarterback in the first round? What do the Raiders need to do in the first round to get a quarterback? But I can tell you this much, that this team is going to make some big decisions coming up here.
JT The Brick.
We need the Raiders to get back to a point where they're expected to win all their big games. Raiders need to get a quarterback. I don't know who it's going to be. The Raiders have to get it right this time. And I think we're all on the same page. Or do you want to go big with a young rookie stud and just park them? But I can tell you this much, that this team is going to make some big decisions coming up here.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT The Brick.
Welcome back, everybody. JT in Vegas, hour number two of the show. Thanks to Vinny Bonsignor sitting in for me yesterday, as I was the MC of the Biletnikoff Hall of Fame Golf Classic. That was a tremendous success, sold out. I'll tell you about that a little bit later on the show. Raiders conclude their draft. They're very active with undrafted free agents. I don't know much about them. We're going to have on Tom Telesco tomorrow, and we'll ask him to spotlight maybe a couple of the undrafted free agents that they were able to select. They got Brock Bowers. NFL Network put out their ranking of the draft. They gave the Raiders a... They ranked them 23rd. 23rd. Okay, here's what their synopsis was. 1-6 quarterbacks, namely Michael Penix Jr., went off the board ahead of the Raiders pick. It really streamlined their options, but getting Brock Bowers at number 13, that's a steal until proven otherwise. Maybe Penix would have qualified as the all-time honorary Al Davis selection if the Raiders had taken him in a first-round gamble. But as high as the upside of the athletic playmaker, Bowers isn't far off. Bowers can help the team, and people freaking out about having multiple quality tight ends, Bowers and Michael Mayer, will hopefully see that down the road. The quarterback duo of Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell might not be the most spine-tingling combination, but giving them a decent cast of targets can't hurt. The defense should also carry a fairly heavy share of the load. No, this isn't a Super Bowl caliber roster, but the Raiders have gotten better this offseason. That's from NFL.com. Yeah, the Raiders have gotten better. They got Michael Gallup today, former Cowboy wide receiver. I think they got a starter overall. I think the Raiders did a pretty good job going out there and getting a good player, a really good player overall. When we look at the draft tracker that I have in front of me, and I'm wondering what every team was thinking of doing going in. Look, Jaden Daniels was the pivot point of the draft. Once the Raiders knew they could not get him, they couldn't get him. Maybe Michael Penix Jr. would have been an option. I'll ask that to Tom Telesco tomorrow. I don't know what answer I'll get on that, but I think it's a fair question to ask. But they were able to go out there, I think overall the Raiders were, and get players that could have an instant impact on the team. When you can have an instant impact on your team, that's what I want to see. I want starters, and I think the Raiders were able to do that. I think the Raiders got out of here. I wouldn't say everyone's going to be a steal. I'm wondering what DJ Glaze is going to do, the offensive tackle out of Maryland. He looked like he could block out the sun. He looked like he could block out the sun overall. I loved his size and I loved his strength overall. I think he's a big, big guy. And when you get a big guy like that, he might have a chance to start. But really, you think in this division, you're going to go out there and start a rookie right tackle? I don't think you're going to. I don't think you're going to do that at all. So with everything that happened here over the weekend from Thursday to the seventh round, I was enthused about what the Raiders have done. But I've also sat here in the past and been optimistic about several of the Raiders' picks when they drafted them at the time. I remember when Max Crosby got drafted in Oakland. I didn't think much of it. What do you want me to think? He's Max Crosby, a player I never heard of. Never heard of him. Never heard of him. Wasn't even on a radar on any level. I mean, I'm not this draft guy that goes to Mobile, Alabama, and sits down and mocks guys late in the draft. He turned out to be one of the greatest Raider draft picks of 50 years, maybe, when it's all said and done. Getting Trey Taylor, round 7, the safety out of Air Force. I mean, look, he won the 2023 Jim Thorpe Award winner, national. You look at some of these picks. They're all value picks. Best players on the board. Best players. Trey Taylor, 6 interceptions, 13 pass breakups in general. Solid picks. So we'll get to all of you. I want to get out to Mike in Staten, Italy. Danny, let's take Mikey first. Mikey, you got a lot going on with the Kentucky Derby and all the news on the draft. What's going on?
First of all, JT, when they made that draft pick, you know, I was a little stunned. But you said it best. You take if Browse turns out to be an All-Pro, another Kelce, you're going to say, who are these other players? And if you anybody that judges a draft round 5 years and doesn't give it 5 years to say with these grades are ridiculous. 104th, you were dead right, 104th pick of the draft when we got Crosby. JT, I'm going to give you just 2 early horses for you. The one that the JT the Brick should be backing, long shot, Mystic Dan. I love the horse. He's going to sit nice. You can get about 20-1 on him. Very good. And a horse that's coming over from Japan. No horse has won the Derby from Japan. He'll go off about 10-1 forever young, JT. The last thing is, whoever LeBron plays for next year, you nailed it. Whoever drafts his son, and you can't blame him, but it's like you're drafting LeBron James again. So if you draft him in the first round, in the 7th pick, the 20th pick, the 2nd round, can you blame a franchise that would perfect example, JT. We're building, did I see right, we're building an arena in Vegas. How nice would that look?
Hey, Mikey, last one. How's the city? How's the city with our Knicks? How great is it to have Knicks basketball, Knickerbockers playing at this level and shutting down Philly?
JT, out of nowhere. It's just come all over the city. Everything is orange and blue all over the city. They really, Porzingis got hurt last night. Did you see it in the Boston game? We got a shot to go play Denver in the finals or Oklahoma, one of those two. But it is, when you know it, it's a Knick town, and we haven't felt that way since we had Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley. It is just electric. And then add in the with the Rangers. Without JT, how much would you love a Ranger Vegas Knights final? That town would be taken over by New Yorkers.
Yeah, it would be. Appreciate it, Mikey. Take care. As a diehard Knicks fan, Knicks are my lifeblood. I love the Knicks more than pretty much anything in my life other than my family. It's been a long time coming, man. A long time coming. And yes, the city, when the Knicks are playing well, it's a different New York City there. I don't think the Knicks could beat Denver. Anybody can beat Oklahoma City or those other teams. I just want to see them completely chug along. A quick announcement today, Black Hole Rob Rivera's birthday today. We lost Rob a couple of years ago. He's in heaven. One of the founders of the Black Hole, a great friend of mine, the first guy I ever talked to about getting involved with the Raiders. Went right to him, sought him out, said, look, you know, I didn't grow up. I like the Raiders. I didn't grow up a Raider fan. I'm here to help you guys on the radio. If you'll help me, I'll help you. And he said, absolutely. And we built a bond and a friendship. He was taken from us way too soon, but today's his birthday. To Rachel and the girls who are listening, Cisco, Mark Jones, the entire Black Hole, today is Black Hole Rob's birthday. I wish he was here. If he was here, I'd probably go up and we'd be talking on the phone and having an hour-long conversation from back in the day. Really hurts that he's not with us, but the Raider organization appreciates him and the fan base really understands the impact that he had. Happy birthday, Rob. I know he'd be watching boxing and sitting back and having a nice cold Modelo. Jorge, you're up next. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for joining us on the flagship.
Yo, JT. Hey, nice to talk to you. Nice to hear everything that's been said here in today's show. Yes, a happy birthday to Black Hole Rob. My first purchase ticket, the first ticket that I pay with my own money to go to a Raider game was in the Black Hole. It had to be there. And it's just a unique experience that is so surreal. But, you know, I think part of the reason that the fandom is so loyal to the nation is because of the way that you see the product on the field, you know. And I think with this time being Tom Telesco's first year and then Antonio Pierce's first year, I really think that they did what they could. And you know, everybody's, you know, making it seem that the Raiders, we're just going to do everything possible to get it, to get Jaden Daniels and even Michael Penix, who was a shocker. But, you know, there was teams that were going to get a quarterback that they also had in need, and that was just unfortunate. But what I really appreciated after being surprised looking at Brock Bowers being picked is that I imagined, you know, what did Tom Telesco do and Antonio Pierce do in the war room when they looked at each other and said, all right, we wanted a quarterback. And they said it in the presser. We were looking in the first round, and then we didn't look, you know, anywhere afterwards. They looked at each other and said, what are we going to do? We got these two great quarterbacks that one we just signed, another one just weathered a storm that was unprecedented. And with that being said, who do we need? We obviously need offensive linemen, but we need to add things to Luke Getsy because it's his first year, too. We got to be able to magnify this offense because we've been so disappointed with the offense, JT. I'm so glad that the strength of the team has evolved into the defense, but I cannot bear another disappointing offensive season for this team. I think Brock Bowers is going to be able to just completely change it because with Michael Penix, for example, he was going to throw the deep ball. He was really good at that. We have Aiden O'Connell who can do that. We have Gardner Minshew who's able to manage a game, and we're not going to need to always throw a long go route. We have Trey Tucker in the speed, but now you got Brock Bowers who can get yards after the catch. You got a great blocker in space in the wide receiver of Jacoby Myers who's going to be able to open lanes once Brock Bowers or Michael Mayer catch it or Devontae. So I'm excited about this. I like that the JPJ pick is also going to beef up our offensive line. And hey, I'll give credit to Dave Ziegler for creating a scouting department that is able to identify offensive linemen that are versatile and can go into different positions. You got Dylan Parham was a great example, and now Tom Telesco was able to build on that. Right. So, you know, I'm really excited, JT. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
For this summer.
Yeah, I appreciate this. And Brock Bowers hopefully will be a part of our summer content. They got him in round one at pick 13, then in round two at pick 44, Jackson Powers Johnson. Then with that 77th pick in the third round, DJ Glaze, the Maryland tackle. He's a big guy, really big guy. He's going to play. Look, the offensive line is young. Colt Miller's coming year seven. Dylan Parham was just drafted a couple of years ago. Andre James is still a young player. We get a rookie in Powers Johnson. It's going to look most likely play right tackle. He's going to play tackle. And then, you know, Thayer Mumford's a young player. It's a young offensive line. The weakness of the Raiders, let me be careful with this. The Raiders' offensive line got significantly better. Now, I've always been a fan, and I told this to Dave Ziegler and before that to Reggie McKenzie. I like getting a starting right tackle in the draft, in free agency, because we know he can play. Now, why wouldn't a right tackle be retained by another team? You don't want to let your right tackle and left tackle go. But there's 32 teams, and every year there's always a right tackle that gets released by a team because of either he's played 7 or 8 years, they want to go in a different direction, contracts up. I like those guys more than I like rookies on the right side. But the Raiders were able to get DJ Glaze to go along with Thayer Mumford. That'll be a camp battle. Thayer Mumford should win that because he's a veteran compared to this kid. But I don't know if DJ Glaze turns out to be a hell of a player and his footwork improves and they trust him. Maybe he'll play a little bit. You know, guys get hurt a lot on the offensive line. Offensive linemen, big people have big medical problems. Big offensive linemen, you get your ankle rolled on. You're at the bottom of a pile. Something happens. You need depth there, and the Raiders added depth overall. Trey Taylor looks exciting. Devin Shire, the Pitt cornerback that was taken late. A buddy of mine whose son went to Pitt said he's a hell of a player. Well, okay, your son went to Pitt. Of course he's a hell of a player. I want to see what he can do. But Tommy Eichenberg, who I talked about with Phil Villapiano yesterday, the Ohio State linebacker. He played a lot of snaps, a lot of games along the way. He can get it done. He's going to make the team. No doubt you need a backup linebacker. You need added linebacker depth. Think of what he's going to learn from Spillane. And then on special teams. When I talk to Tom Telesco tomorrow, I want to ask him about the impact of special teams because lately they're going to want this kickoff, this new kickoff rule, kicks to be covered. So you're going to have athletic guys covering kicks. You also need big guys on the kickoff return because they might be able to block better and open it up, and guys who can tackle in space. So the Raiders in the draft got a running back, a safety, two corners, a linebacker, two offensive linemen, and a tight end. Well done. Well done. But the most important position was the quarterback position, and they weren't able to put a quarterback on the roster. They couldn't get Jaden Daniels. They weren't able to wait for Michael Penix. You know what that would have been like, being at the draft party at the Caesars Omnia, if Michael Penix was still on the board at 13? Now, Brock Bowers was still on the board at 13 and Michael Penix Jr., that would have been an interesting show we would have had to do today, but we don't have to do that because Michael Penix Jr. was gone by Atlanta. And Atlanta took him for a number of reasons. A lot of conspiracy theorists believe that Atlanta is going to be charged for tampering to get Kirk Cousins and lose a pick. So Atlanta took the quarterback now because they're going to lose some draft equity coming up. Could be true. 702-365-9200. Hey, when we come back, I'm going to give a quick synopsis, recap of the Biletnikoff event yesterday and how cool it was to see so many great people show up for such a great event. I want to share that story. That's why I was off yesterday. Worth sharing again today. And then our conversation with Brock Bowers. Eric Allen and I talked to him first. And that was interesting when he walked into the studio. Big young man from Napa, California. His middle school was in the parking lot of the Raiders training camp up there. So that'll be a lot of fun to hear that. I haven't heard it back yet. JT here as we are live, as always, brought to you by the 872 Laborers.
The JT The Brick Show is brought to you by Remy Martin. Team up for excellence.
Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio on a recap Tuesday here, off yesterday for the 20th annual Fred Biletnikoff Foundation Hall of Fame Golf Classic. Thanks to Vinny for jumping in for me. I greatly appreciate that. And we got a lot of catching up to do after not being on this show in this time slot since last Thursday when we mixed and matched the lineup and switched things up as I was anchoring with Eric Allen from over at the facility. So busy couple of days here, and I'm excited about this week. We can go over the draft. We'll get some players on, interviews, and look forward now to the schedule release, which is really exciting. I want to thank Mike at La Casa Cigars. He is our partner here on the radio. He was also a partner at the Biletnikoff event yesterday on the 10th hole. La Casa Cigars was the sponsor. Everybody got a great cigar or two, a nice cigar. So it was nice to be playing golf. And then late night, last night, before I left the JW Marriott, where the Biletnikoff event was based out of, I had a nice cigar earlier than I expected. Man, back in the day, this tournament used to go late at night when you had guys like Ken Stabler and Cliff Branch staying up well past midnight. That wasn't the case last night as we shut it down to get ready and had a good time. Again, thanks to Fred Biletnikoff. He called me today to thank me for yesterday, and I just thanked him back. What a blessing. 20-year anniversary of the event. I've emceed it for 20 years, and that's a big part of my life. My heart is full, as I put on my Facebook page yesterday. My heart is full when I can be a part of this and the Raider presentation of $250,000, $250,000, to continue to build out Tracy's Place of Hope in memory of Tracy Biletnikoff was special. I mean, the look on Rich Gannon's face and George Atkinson's face when they saw this, and the fact that St. Jude's Ranch is building a first-of-its-kind campus for children who are victims of sex trafficking, and they're building these safe therapeutic homes and a specialized nurturing recovery program. Oh, my God, just to be involved with that at a small level is fantastic. And the renderings of this is incredible. The Healing Center, Tracy's Place of Hope, the Biletnikoff Center of Hope here in Las Vegas, Nevada. So I was there when they started this, and Mark Davis would come to the event with $20,000, and everyone would go, oh, my God, look at this, $20,000. Now it's $250,000. Tell you, Mark Davis and the Raider Foundation, bravo. Just incredible. The numbers that are being generated by this organization for charity, I mean, I'm not privy to that. I'm privy to a little bit of it, but just incredible the checks they write. And rightfully so. It's incredible to see the checks that the foundation, Larry Delson, the entire program is able to go out there and cut and do. And it's just, my heart is full after that yesterday. A couple of things I just wanted to tell you, a couple of name drops from this event. It was great to see Drew Bledsoe there, the Super Bowl champion for the Patriots. He's a big-time wine entrepreneur, and Drew was unbelievable yesterday. He was a gentleman. He came there and bought a Freddie Biletnikoff jersey at the live auction for a lot of money. So Drew Bledsoe, fantastic guy. I mean, we all know Drew Bledsoe was a great player. It got hit hard in the Jet game, and then Brady came in, and the rest is history. This guy's special. Also, Steve Largent. When you have a Hall of Fame golf tournament that's based on wide receivers, and then all of a sudden you see guys like Tim Brown hanging out with Steve Largent and Fred Biletnikoff, you look around and say, this is incredible. Look at this. To see the wide receivers. Charlie Joyner, one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, who was there. Just fantastic to see him. And when you get guys like Rick Upchurch and receivers, Jacoby Ford, who played for the Raiders for years, to see the receivers hanging out together. They took the receiver picture, as they all do. That was really cool. So we enjoyed that. The great Jim Plunkett was there. He always gets the loudest ovation. You know, I get to MC the event and then introduce, and I try to put a little flair into it and talk about their bios quickly. When it gets to Jim Plunkett, Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champ, Heisman Trophy winner, the place erupts. Our guy, Eric Allen, who I introduced as a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he was outstanding. Rod Woodson, I introduced him as one of the top 20 players to ever play in the NFL. Rod stood up, waved. It was great to see Rod Woodson there. And my son got to play in a foursome with Justin Fargas, Nicky Fargas, two-time champ with the Aces, the president of the Aces, Teo Johnson. That was really nice for my son to play golf with those guys all day and have a lot of fun. So I wanted to share this with everyone because, you know, when you give back and you do charity work like Fred and Angela Biletnikoff do, it's really important that we recap this. So I wanted to thank a lot of the celebrities who were there. George Atkinson's team won. George Atkinson's, you have a celebrity with every team. George's team won with a score of 52. 52. So you say, wait, what do you mean 52? Well, you get an eagle here. You get a bunch of birdies there. That's how you get it done. So George Atkinson's team wins with a 52. Some of the other celebrities who were there that definitely deserve consideration here today. Raleigh Fingers, three-time World Series champ, baseball Hall of Famer. He was fantastic. Rich Gannon, the MVP. Couldn't have been better to see him there. Mike Haynes, arguably the greatest cornerback of all time. He was there, which was just so nice to see him. As I mentioned, some of the other names. Rod Martin. Took a picture with Rod Martin in the golf cart yesterday, the two-time Super Bowl champ. Napoleon McCallum. If we didn't have Napoleon McCallum, we might not have the Raiders in Vegas. He did a lot to put that story together. Mark McMillan, who you hear on this station a lot, from Alabama, the cornerback. He does a lot of work here in Vegas. Good to see him. Jay Norvell, a head coach of Colorado State. Remember the game they had against Dion in Colorado last year? That program's doing fantastic. And just a whole bunch of other people that gave their time. Mike Siani, Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl 11 wide receiver. Barry Sims, Josh Taves. Corey Toomer was there. It was fantastic to see him. Adam True, Phil Villapiano, Phil. And then you had Dwight Hicks and Eric Wright from the 49ers. Eric Wright has won four Super Bowls for the 49ers. He was not happy with the Niners' loss to Kansas City. I guess Mahomes was out here again. Mahomes did an event at the Summit. I'm getting sick and tired of this. Mahomes can go wherever he wants. Wherever he wants in the world, he can go wherever he wants. I'm not the Twitter police, but Mahomes is out here every weekend. He's throwing golf tournaments in Vegas on our golf tournament soil. How the hell is that going on? And Mahomes was out here too. People were talking about that. But I want to thank Silver and Black Productions, our entire team at the Raiders, for putting together the videos and all the auction items that were fantastic. Our buddy Charlie Boots was the auctioneer. He did a fine job raising a lot of money. And again, if you get a chance to make a donation, go to Biletnikoff.org. And to see the young girls who are now having a chance in life because they were sex trafficked or they were abused as young girls, and now you get a chance to meet them. And Tracy's Place of Hope is a residential program for adolescent girls who have dealt with mental health or substance abuse problems. When you see now that they're in an environment where they're safe, again, these young girls from the age of 10 years old to 18 years old could be in an environment where they're going to be safe off the streets and getting the help that they need because of the passing of Tracy Biletnikoff, who was tragically murdered. And then Angela and Fred put all this time in, all the volunteers who were there yesterday. Just a fantastic experience. Thanks to Canyon Gate Golf Club. Great place. If you haven't played golf here in town at Canyon Gate, I highly recommend it. Course looked unbelievable yesterday, a little bit windy. It was hot, but it felt good. All the volunteers who were there, fantastic. We gave out the Scotty Medlock Spirit Award to the former PGA artist, Scotty Medlock, who passed away. And then last thing I wanted to say, please try to come to this event next time and next year and the year after that, because this is fantastic. Fred Biletnikoff does a great job. And last night, when I walked him back to his suite, and we hugged it out, and he thanked me, and I thanked him. I got home, took an Uber home, right? Rightfully so, and told my family how proud I was to be associated with this. So thanks to everybody who's listening, everybody who attended yesterday as we continue, and all the entertainment and all the people that put it together, all for the Healing Center, all for the legacy of Tracy Biletnikoff. And the mission statement, the mission of the Biletnikoff Foundation is to remember Tracy Biletnikoff's life and her untimely death, and to enable young people to realize their full potential through the support of the community and education programs that effectively address the related problems of substance abuse and domestic violence. You know, Max Crosby, who's sober, had his big foundation, raised a lot of money. Darren Waller, who's with the Giants, who was here, walking the tunnels, raising money for the homeless. And all the people in this community, in Las Vegas, reaching out to Los Angeles, obviously the Bay Area and Northern California, and where the Global Raider Nation is. I thank you again, for this is the most charitable organization I've seen. And I've been in sports a long time. And a lot of organizations don't do anything like this. They don't raise this type of money. They might donate a football. They might donate a signed helmet to a charity. And you see the Raiders write a check for $250,000. It's special. It's family. It's unique. And I was proud to be a part of it yesterday as golf balls were flying all over Canyon Gate. And the party was fantastic. And I really had a good time. So a couple of other issues. We've got our housekeeping items. Got my first remote at Grimaldi's coming up on Friday. Best pizza I ever had. Come by for a pie. Come by for a slice. Come by and see us noon to 2. We'll be at Boca Park there. Excited for the opportunity to do a live remote. First ever one at Grimaldi's. My proud partner here. As I mentioned earlier in the show, really disturbed by the Golden Knights losing. To have a 2-0 lead on the number one seed in Dallas. And that's why Dallas is the number one seed. They're a number one seed because they were the best team out west. But Vegas just needed to win one game here at the Fortress in Las Vegas, and they couldn't do it. To lose two in a row in tight games, really tight games, but I thought Dallas was the better team. That's concerning now. Home ice is back to Dallas. Dallas looks to be playing better, and Vegas is close to being on the verge of elimination. And that would suck for us because I need that content, man. I need Vegas to go a couple of rounds in hockey because I want to talk hockey here. And we don't talk much hockey when they get eliminated. So a big focus the rest of the week for the Vegas Golden Knights. Hopefully they're able to turn it around. Michael Gallup, a new receiver for the Raiders, coming over, obviously, from the Cowboys. This is a really solid pickup. For those who are wondering, why did the Raiders go out and make this move, as we said earlier in the monologue, why not? You can call him the fourth receiver. The Raiders lose Hunter Renfrow. And you bring in a guy like Gallup with all that type of experience here. This is a big-time player who's played a long time. And I like the draft, and we're going to continue to get into the draft here about what the Raiders were able to do. They got a couple of starters. We knew that on Thursday, Friday. They have a few starters. And as I told you, I care about the starters. There's a lot of young men who were drafted late in the draft in the seventh round. I hope they make the team. Special teams seem to be a priority for Tom Telesco. With this new kickoff rule, guys who can cover kicks, guys who can catch and take back kickoff returns, that's important. Tom Telesco dotted every I, crossed every T. Nice job by Tom Telesco. And when we come back, we'll take a look ahead of what's going to happen next. The next big event for Raider Nation will be the schedule release. And I talked to some friends and some fans yesterday who are really excited about the New Orleans trip and a couple other games. As the Raiders' road schedule is pretty powerful. If you like to road trip with the Raiders, you're going to have a good time. The Raiders got some unbelievable events coming up on the road. They also announced their Raider Cruise. The Raiders are going to have a fan cruise. How about this? More of that to come. The Raiders are going to hit the high seas to Mexico. Lincoln Kennedy will be a part of that. So sign up fast for that. I promise you that will go quickly. So JT here on a beautiful day today. Thanks again to Fred and Angela Biletnikoff. The Biletnikoff Foundation 20th anniversary Fred Biletnikoff Hall of Fame Golf Invitational. It was sold out. A lot of money was raised. I'm proud to be a part of it, and I'm proud to be on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Grimaldi's Pizzeria, home of the famous New York-style coal-fired brick oven pizza.
It's Gerard Mayo, head coach of the Patriots. Perfect time for a Grimaldi's live read. Join me this Friday, May 3rd, my first ever Grimaldi's Pizzeria live broadcast in Summerlin at Boca Park. That's at 750 South Rampart Boulevard. We'll be broadcasting live from noon to 2. Grimaldi's is hands down my favorite pizza in Vegas. If you haven't tried it yet, you need to try their famous New York-style coal-fired brick oven pizza. Open for dine-in, carry-out, and delivery. You can go to GrimaldisPizzeria.com, home of the $50 gift card. We'll give away a few of them. So come on out. Have a slice. Have a pizza. Have a beverage. I love Grimaldi's. I hang out there at Boca Park. It's not too far from my home, and Grimaldi's asked us to do a remote, and they've been my partner for years. So how cool does that sound? And Friday, Danny, I think it's Golden Knights game, right? Golden Knights. Would that be game six? That's home. That's a home game, right? Yes.
So they actually play tomorrow, and then, yes, I believe it is Friday.
Yeah, and that's a home game, and they're our proud partner there. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to be there Friday as the Golden Knights are guaranteed to have a game, and we'll be there for the warm-up from noon to 2. Grimaldi's in Boca Park. Join me there this Friday. Come on out. The weather should be great. You can sit outside, have a beverage, have some good pizza, and join me there. So Eric Allen and myself, I had an opportunity to sit down with Brock Bowers. Here's our conversation after he was drafted and right when he walked into the building last Friday. We are thrilled to welcome in Brock Bowers. Brock, congratulations. Welcome to the Raider Nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
We love the connection to Napa. So short flight. Tell us about your travels and coming here and walk us through the phone call and then getting in the building.
Yeah, I mean, the travels were a little easier than flying across country to Georgia, I'll tell you that. But, yeah, it was nice to have that shorter flight, and it was all smooth this morning. But, yeah, last night was crazy. I mean, I wasn't expecting it. And all of a sudden, you get the call from Las Vegas, Nevada. I was like, man, this is pretty surreal.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the pre-draft stuff. Do you have any indication that it was going to be the Raiders?
I mean, not really at all. No, it was kind of came as a shock to me and my family and my agent and kind of everyone.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be exciting in a way because the history of this franchise at tight end, and you're going to learn about that and being in this impressive building, but to come to the Silver and Black in a brand new community like Las Vegas and the deep roots to the Bay Area and you and Napa, that feels like a great fit.
Yeah. I remember watching them doing training camp when I was in middle school and stuff. That was actually at my middle school I went to. So, it kind of all came full circle.
How middle school? What year was that?
I don't know.
It was after you. I know.
I tell you what, the trip from Napa, talk to us about the recruiting from Napa. You passed a lot of schools to get to Georgia. What was that recruiting process like?
Yeah, I mean, part of it had to do with COVID. I mean, everything on the West Coast shut down. All the West Coast schools shut down, and they were still playing ball out in Georgia. And I was like, man, I want to play football. So, and then also they all said the SEC was different with football and competition and all that, and I wanted to go, just compete against the best if I could. So,
yeah. You were such a versatile player at Georgia. I wanted to talk about Kirby and your coaches. And when they saw your talent initially and they lined you up in so many different places, how did you embrace that?
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I did kind of the same thing in high school that I did there. I mean, they kind of moved me all around. And I find it fun just going up, lining in new positions and doing new stuff. I mean, it's definitely adds a little bit to my game, like versatility wise.
Yeah, I tell you, there was one picture I saw, and you had like the wrist thing on, and it looked like there was 1,000 plays on there. Yeah. So, talk to a little bit about how you prepare for a situation when you're so versatile, you're lined up in all these different spots. How does that week go in practice?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of it when I get moved to different positions. It's like specialty plays and like either get me out to block somebody for my dude behind me or getting me the ball in space. So, I mean, it kind of works out like that during practice and getting to know those plays that I'm going to be at and what position I'm going to be at.
When we looked at your tape after you were just drafted by the Raiders, all the short passes to you that you were able to explode upfield, what's that like? You're in the SEC playing the best competition. You're catching the ball on the flat or quick, and then you're taking off. You just had a nose to get to the end zone and also shed a lot of tackles.
Yeah, I mean, I think my thing was I was trying to score every time I touched the ball and not let the first guy bring me down. I mean, just kind of keep it going, just keep running.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. In the NFL, as you're playing in high school, you have your players you're looking up to. Who were some of the players you were looking up to?
I mean, I loved watching Gronk growing up. I mean, I think he was my favorite guy to watch.
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
I see a lot of that in you. Is that the ability to try to run towards contact and run people over? Because you take a lot of hits when you play with that style. You're a big guy. So what was that like? Tell us about keeping your body fresh and the type of training you're used to.
Yeah, a lot of it just comes with, between practices, between games, and just getting that recovery. And I mean, It's just got to keep your body right because that's what's going to get you to the next place, next game. So,
have you talked to Zeus yet?
Oh no, I haven't talked to him yet. No.
Yeah, he understands about this culture, and it's a great place. I tell you, I played here for 4 years back in the late '90s, early 2000s, and they take care of their own. And we really appreciate everything you've done in college. But this is a whole different ball game. Not every NFL team is like this culture. This we talk about once a Raider, always a Raider. It is really true. We really value you, what you've done, and what you're going to bring to this organization. So we're really excited and happy to have you here.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm excited to be here.
What about Michael Mayer and Davante Adams? And I'm sure you looked at it on the plane and you were aware of it last night as you're talking with your family. There's a lot of playmakers here, and you come in as one of the greatest playmakers of all time in college football history. Do you like this chemistry, even though you haven't met everybody, just looking and thinking about what could happen in this offense?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see what happens and meet everyone around the building and just kind of get to know the new system I'm in and just see how I can help the team.
What's the first thing you're going to get with that check?
Oh, man, nothing crazy. I don't need nothing. It's like food or something.
There you go. I love that. Food.
That's awesome.
Tell us about your family and your childhood and who do you owe this to, your parents and just the people who surrounded you. Let's hear about your backstory a bit.
Yeah, I mean, definitely my parents. They supported me through everything and, brought me to all the practices all around, like just driving me everywhere to tournaments and stuff like that. So definitely them. And, just how I was raised. I mean, raising a super competitive and athletic family, so that definitely helped a little bit.
And what were some of the other teams and other sports that you played as a kid? Obviously, as a football player, the Bay Area, not too far from Napa, going over and catching some baseball, some hockey. What were you into?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I played a lot of soccer, basketball, baseball, and then that kind of morphed into like just basketball and football. Yeah.
Wow, so you played multiple sports, and that had a lot to do with it. I can't imagine the last couple of years for you, Brock, all the players that went to the NFL, I mean, especially on the defensive side. Yeah. Eric and I talked about this. The amount of players from 2 years ago and your national championship teams, two of them that went on to the NFL, how do you keep those relationships going? I can't imagine your text threads with your former teammates who seem like they're sprinkled all over the league.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy, especially showing up there as a freshman and then going against the defense that we had. And like,
wow.
I mean, they were pretty much all first, second-round draft picks, I think. So yeah, it was definitely tough. But, yeah, it's pretty cool to see what they're all doing and what they're all doing in the league.
Yeah, what was practices like when that's a competitive environment down there and guys are trying to win starting spots? What are the practices like at Georgia?
Man, they're tough. They're tough, physical, and we work hard over there, and I think it pays off on Saturdays.
Yeah, you know, a rabid fan base, and you know this from growing up in Napa, the Raider fans are a bit different. You know, they're diehard fans and they're global. You got to appreciate that. There's a lot of good franchises in this league, but you're coming to a global fan base. When everybody sees that shield and logo around the world, everybody knows instantly you're a Raider.
Yeah, no, it's pretty sweet. There were a lot of Raider fans at my draft party last night, being from Napa. So, yeah. We got the old retro leather jacket pulled out.
There you go. We got some tweets to show, and one from your coach Kirby. If we can show it up here, and what he had to say, and congratulating you, and you know, just being such a big part of your life. And I like talking, and Eric and I like talking about coaching trees in this building, from John Madden to Tom Flores to all the great coaches who were here. Wow, I can't imagine this gentleman and the impact that he had on your life. Tell us about that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, him and all the coaches there were just awesome. I mean, they wanted the best for every single one of us, and I mean, they'd push us hard and work us hard. But they also knew it was best for us and loved us up when we needed it.
These games were so big in the SEC, and now the NFL is big. But I've said this before: college football in the Final Four or a playoff game is equal to some NFL games that you see on a Sunday. Did you love that part of it, getting off the bus on the road and playing against Tennessee or going into LSU under the lights? I mean, was that something when you got off the bus you couldn't wait to get out there?
Yeah, no, I was definitely juiced to play in new spots and new locations and just experience different stuff, and especially having that the hostility of, like, the crowd coming after you. It always adds a little bit of
intensity. Oh, welcome to Raider Nation.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Last one for me, Brock. What are the goals for you, immediate and long-term?
Yeah, I haven't been thinking much about long term, but I just want to try to do everything I can leading up to rookie minicamp and OTAs and everything happening this off season to try to prepare myself, like, mentally and physically to just kind of do the best version of me and hopefully make a good impact on the team.
Yeah, and last one for me is, we've all been lucky enough with the great players who have played here, is just to get to know as many of these alumni as you can. They're in the building constantly. They're Hall of Famers, gold jacket guys, and they're all going to be pulling for you. I can't wait for you to meet Dave Casper and get an opportunity to sit down with him and just be around Max Crosby. You got to end with Max. Has Max come up to you yet? Did he greet you at the door? Usually the first one here every day.
Right. He texted me this morning.
He did?
I called him. Yeah, he called me up.
Come
up.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Brock, welcome. Thanks for doing
welcome.
This.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
All right. That's our conversation with Brock Bowers. He's an interesting guy. Again, he's seen a lot. He saw a lot. Eric Allen asked him about practices. The practice he ran through, those are big-time practices against great players who are now in the NFL. Ray to Row, wrap it up. Go ahead.
Hey, JT. Glad to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
I was really excited about the draft. You know, when we got Tom Telesco, I said he's got great first-round history. Let's just trust in what he sees and what he believes and what he knows we need for the team. And I think he made a great pick. I did say earlier this offseason I thought we needed to add another tight end. I never thought we'd have the opportunity to get someone like Brock Bowers. But when we do come out in those two tight end sets and you have two elite weapons that you cannot just disregard, you know, focusing in on the run, I think it gives us a huge advantage no matter what we want to do, playing to those tight ends, running it, looking for Devontae maybe in single coverage in that situation. So I think it's going to unlock some really cool things. I think people have focused on trying to clone Patrick Mahomes, but why not try to clone Kelce? If you're a Raiders fan, you can hate him, but you also have to respect what he said many times. He's made his career off us. I would love to see Brock Bowers and maybe Michael Mayer make their career off the Chiefs, the Broncos. So I'm really looking forward to the future, and I think everything else about the draft went as good as we could do it. Mm-hmm. And, we'll talk to you soon, JT.
Thank you. I think it's going to be very unique to see how Luke Getsy puts this offense together, because you have Devontae, who is a guy who has to get the ball. He's elite. And you got a two tight end set. You got a young running back in Zeus. You got Michael Mayer, who you want to get involved with. And you clearly would get Michael Gallup today, and I'm sure Q's going to talk about that. Coming up next, you got Trey Tucker, who needs the ball. I opened up the show, and I'll say it again, the same thing I opened up the show with. This starts yesterday. Q and I were talking about all the players that have shown up here for these voluntaries and when they've had these workouts here. Install the offense quickly. Luke Getsy should do that. Two tight end set. A lot of these guys aren't used to an offense here. It's a brand new offense, which I never liked that. But I didn't like McDaniel's offense, and I thought I'd love it. I thought the McDaniel's offense would be brilliant because of his track record as a play caller, and it didn't work. So you blew up the coach. You brought in a new offensive coordinator. Maybe they tried to get Cliff Kingsbury or not. But I think this system sets up well for Luke Getsy from what he did in Chicago. So it's going to be a running attack, two tight end sets with an elite Hall of Fame wide receiver in Devontae, one of my favorite number two receivers in the league, right, in Jacoby Myers, and then you get Michael Gallup, Michael Mayer, and Trey Tucker. Who has a problem with that? Who doesn't think that's going to work? Well, the critics of the quarterback, because it's Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. It's not Patrick Mahomes getting them the ball or Justin Herbert. So the quarterback breakdowns are going to be big. And whichever quarterback can work well with these sets, multiple tight end sets, is going to get the job. Thanks, Danny, for hosting the show today and doing it. Appreciate you. Thanks to you, the callers. I had no guests today. I loved it that way. Again, Q's coming up next. Listen to his show. I'll see you back here tomorrow. Check us out on YouTube at JT The Brick YT and on X at JT The Brick. Have a great rest of the day, everyone.